The last part of this chapter is a time, I really think it's the most painful time in all the years of this man Moses. Moses will live to 120 years of age. His brother Aaron here is around 123 years of age. And this period began with a number of rebellions against Moses, painful rebellions that grieved him, hurt him deeply. And then he faced his own failure, where he smote the rock in anger and spoke when he was told not to speak. God had to chastise him publicly, and the shame and the hurt that brought to him was also incalculable. And on top of all of that, we read in the last chapter, he lost a woman who was very, very dear to him. For nearly 120 years, his sister Miriam, who had been with him through the good times and the bad times, who when he was born took care of him and saved his life. He was very close to her. And despite their falling out in Numbers chapter 12, don't get the impression that Moses and her had a difficult relationship. They had no such thing. And now Moses' life is about to get more sorrowful, because one of the last few people of his generation, one of the last few contemporaries that he grew up with, Aaron, is going to be taken away. And the family funerals are not going to end with the passing of Miriam. But before we get to that, we're given a little insight into another aspect of Moses' leadership and the challenges that he faced in verse 14 all the way to verse 22, when on this journey to the land of promise, to the land of Canaan, to the Holy Land, Moses had to navigate through a diplomatic challenge. And it's with a group of people called the Edomites. Edom, even to our ear, sounds similar to Adam, and that's because the Hebrew root word is the same. Adam is from a Hebrew word that means red, the red clay. Adam was taken, if you remember, from the dust of the ground, the red clay. And the word Hadam means red dust or red clay. Edom, whose father was Esau, a red-headed man, they were given the name the red-headed people, the Edomites. So it's the same Hebrew word. And these are relatives of the Israelites through Jacob and Esau, the two sons of Isaac. And Moses comes to them because Israel were hoping to pass through the land of Edom. Today, the land of Edom is really where the land of Jordan is. And they were hoping to pass through the city of Petra. You can go to Petra today and see the old ancient city there. It's a beautiful sight. I've been there. And it's made of red clay, just like the Edomites were the red people, or the red-headed people. And Israel were hoping to navigate going through the kingdom of the Edomites, directly up through, to where they would cross right into the center of what we call today the state of Israel, at Jericho. Moses, he sent messengers to the king of Edom. So he did this properly. He didn't just say, well, we'll just go on through and see what happens. We'll intimidate the Edomites by our 4 million people. Moses spoke to them the right way, sent messengers to show respect, sent it to the king of Edom. And notice how he addresses the king of Edom. Not in an arrogant way, not in a dismissive way, not demanding. He just says, thus saith thy brother Israel. We're relatives. We're friends. We're not enemies. And he says, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. We have just come through a hard 400 years or so in Egypt. And he says, our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. So as a people, we've been separated for 400 years. And during those 400 years, we, your relatives, by blood, have had a very hard time. And what we're asking, he says, in verse 16, he says, we cried unto the Lord, and he heard us. So he begins to testify to them of the goodness of God and the mercy of God. And what Moses, no doubt, is hoping to do is appeal to their blood that's thicker than water side, but also to appeal in a humble, gracious way and testify of the goodness of God, hoping that that would soften the hearts of the Edomites towards the Israelites, that they would recognize they're not there to threaten them. They're not enemies. Moses does this so well. He says in verse 17, let us pass, I pray thee. He's not demanding, he's asking politely. This is the request. Please just let us pass through your land so we don't have to go all the way around the borders of it. And he says in verse 17, we won't drink of your waters, and we'll stay on the main road. We'll just pass through. We'll be gone in a matter of hours if you just let us come through. We're not a threat to you. But you know, verse 18, the king of Edom speaks on behalf of his people. And I must say this, it's to Moses' great credit, having suffered so many blows, particularly the harsh blow from God that he will not lead the children into the promised land, the children of Israel, that Moses doesn't get bitter. He doesn't get depressed. He doesn't hold a pity party. He just keeps on serving the Lord, serving his people, trying to get them to the promised land. He knows he can't get to the promised land, but he wants the people to get there as safely and as effectively as they can. And Moses, if it requires Moses to humble himself in order to do that, he's willing to do it. And he makes this very gracious plea, very polite to the Edomites. And the king of Edom replies on behalf of his nation. And it's a very simple reply. You don't need a PhD to understand it. Moses spoke in a very polite, diplomatic, nuanced way, but they certainly didn't reply in such a way. They just said, thou shalt not pass by me. You're not coming. And he says, lest I come out against thee with the sword. He says, if you try, not only will I be upset, I'll take the sword to you. So the children of Israel, through Moses, try one more time. In verse 19, and they said, we will go by the highway. And if you're worried about our cattle taking of your water, because water was precious in the Middle East, and Israel had 4 million people, maybe 5 million people, plus animals. Moses and the Israelites said to the Edomites, listen, if we cost anything, if we do any damage, we'll indemnify it. And if we even take water, our animals take water, we'll pay for it. Sounds very reasonable, doesn't it? Sounds very fair. Well, how do the Edomites respond? It says, and he said, so this is the king speaking, no doubt, on behalf of his nation, thou shalt not go through. No chance. And this time, he doesn't just threaten trouble, force. We're told at the end of verse 20, and Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. He sent his army out to say, don't dare set foot in our territory or you'll pay the price. And you know, sometimes when you do the right thing, the right way, with the right motives, to unsaved people, to ungodly people, they react the wrong way. You'll discover that in life. The challenge is, how do you react? You can't control how other people react to you. The only thing you can control is how you react to the situation. This is the test for Moses. This is the test now for Israel. How will they react to the deliberate, arrogant, rude, aggressive response by the Edomites? Will they get angry? Will they fight fire with fire? Will they take their swords out and say, you want to fight? We'll see who's got the biggest army. We'll see who has the real strength here. And you know, harsh words were not just exchanged, but intimidation. Nothing has changed, has it? The Arabs and the Jews are still fighting. 3,000 years later, the harsh words are still there. The threats are still there. And the weapons are still there. Now, how will Moses and his people respond? No doubt Moses is leading this. Verse 21. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore? Here's how they're going to respond. Israel turned away from him. Israel chose to walk away from the confrontation. Now, the blessing is lost for the Edomites. They could have been blessed by being in association, being next to the children of Israel, because God had promised through Abraham he would bless those who bless them and curse those who curse them. But by turning their backs on Israel, threatening Israel, they lost out, the Edomites, had they. But Israel did the right thing, and they walked away. And you know, sometimes we all need to learn this lesson. When there is a potential flashpoint, particularly with unsaved people, maybe in the workplace, maybe even in the home, in the extended family, maybe even in the church, when these flashpoints arise, these confrontations arise, sometimes the best response is to walk away. Now, that's hard for us, because as humans by nature, we like to hit back. We like to show our strength. We don't like to be intimidated. We don't like to lose face and back off. But as Christians, one of the calls of a Christian is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says, when he was reviled, reviled not again in response. Now, I didn't say this was easy. Well, certainly wouldn't have been easy for Moses. Moses himself was a man who we saw in the last chapter could explode in anger when he's pushed, when his pride is hurt. Moses, no doubt, had the bigger army here. But Moses chose to walk away and to take his people, not the direct route, but the indirect, the long way around. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to lose in order to win. You have to back down in order to go forward. That's not natural to us, is it? That's not easy for us. But Moses in leading his people this way is showing you and I that it's possible. You don't have to fight. You don't have to have the confrontation. But then in verse 23, we come to the second half of this story. And it's a very different experience that Moses is going to go through. The first part, he's dealing with this diplomatic fallout, the challenge of leading a nation through this crisis, through the threats, and through the intimidation of the Edomites. But the second part of this story is probably going to hurt Moses far deeper. It's going to challenge him in a whole lot of different ways. And one of the things you learn in life is this, that each day is different. Each day will bring different challenges, different experiences, and your faith will be tried and tested in different ways. And you need the grace of God to navigate each different challenge. At this time, Moses is told by God to go up to Mount Hor. Now, previously, when Moses went up the mountains, God's blessing came upon him in special ways. But this time, it's not going to be as pleasant a journey. And it certainly won't be a pleasant journey down from the mountain. Because God tells Moses that when he goes up this mountain, in verse 24, it's not to receive a special glory from the Lord. He's not going to come down the mountain with his face shining. He's not going to receive some special revelation like the Ten Commandments. No. God says, this time, when you go up the mountain, you're going to go with Aaron, the last remaining relative. Maybe the last person of that generation that Moses grew up with, you're going to go up the mountain with him, but you won't come down with him because Aaron is going to die on that mountain. And Moses, this will be the last journey you will ever walk with your brother. 40 years they'd walked side by side. 40 years they'd come through the challenges and difficulties of leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness. And God says this is the end of the journey for Aaron and Moses. God doesn't sugarcoat it. He says, he shall not enter into the land, verse 24. There's no chance of Aaron going on. God explains why. He says, for ye rebelled, Moses and Aaron, against my word at the waters of Meribah. Both of you were guilty. Both of you failed. Both of you let me down. And what's going to happen on this mountain? Moses is to bring Aaron and Aaron's son, Eleazar. Now remember, Aaron's a high priest. It's not just Moses' brother. He's the high priest of the nation. The one who is to lead in the sacrifices. The one who is to lead on the Day of Atonement. And he wears this beautiful set of garments, robes, that reflect the office of a high priest. God says to Moses, you climb this mountain. Now remember, Moses is 120 and Aaron's 123. And he says, when you get to the top of this mountain, you're to take all the garments, not all his clothes literally, but all the priestly garments, the uniform that Aaron is wearing that sets him apart as the high priest, and you're to place it on his son Eleazar. And it's going to be a very visible symbol that power has transferred, that the office is now held by a different person. And Aaron is going to die on that mountain. And then you and Eleazar will come back down. Now you can imagine being told by God that this is the last journey you'll ever take. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being told by God that this day will be your last day on earth? That this day is the day you're going to die? And I must say, it's to Moses' credit, and Aaron, and Eliezer's credit, that they don't fight God's will in this matter. They don't argue with God. They don't make a big fuss. Because Aaron and Moses have learned this lesson the hard way as well as the easy way, that you have to let God be God. You have to let God choose. The easy way to get through life is to submit to God's way. As the hymn writer says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Moses and Aaron know the end has not come. But you know, in the midst of the pain and the grief that Moses and Aaron must have felt, and Eliezer, God sweetened the pain. There's grace. Because God uses an expression twice to let Moses and Aaron and even all the children of Israel know that this is not the end for Aaron. It's just the end of their relationship on earth. Because you notice in verse 24, read it very carefully. God speaks and he says, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. And he repeats it in verse 26. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. Like, what does that mean? It may not mean much to you or me, but this is Old Testament language where God is assuring Moses and Aaron and all the children of Israel that Aaron, although he has not been a perfect man, although he has made mistakes, and even his death before he could enter the promised land is part of God's chastisement of a failure in Aaron's life, a weakness in his character, God is letting Moses know Aaron's coming home to glory. He's being gathered where all the saints of God are gathered in heaven. He's been brought up to the great worship service and glory. And he's going to be gathered to where Jacob was gathered and Abraham was gathered and Isaac was gathered. And all the saints that have gone before. And although Moses' heart must have ached at the thought of losing Aaron, the man that he could trust and had learned to trust and get along with and work with for 40 years, a man of great gifts. In fact, we read he sometimes called Moses' prophet. He spoke on Moses' behalf when Moses was afraid to speak. He said he wasn't an eloquent speaker. God says, Aaron will speak on your behalf. So Aaron was fluent in Egyptian and fluent in Hebrew and Aramaic. He was a gifted man. Aaron was a man who did miracles. Aaron was a man who held Moses' hands up in prayer with Hur. Aaron was a man that when Moses fell on his face before God, and when challenges came, Aaron fell with him. So this is a painful loss to Moses. As I said, this may have been the last person that Moses knew alive that grew up with him down in Egypt. Because all the others were killed in the wilderness by God because of their sin. So the bond between him and Aaron through the experiences they have had and the difficulties and challenges they have had is very, very strong. It's very, very powerful. And you could sense that Moses would feel a great sense of loneliness as he looked down over this young nation and him 120 years of age. He must have felt, I'm just so old compared to everybody else. There's nobody I can relate to. And God says to Moses, listen, Aaron's going, no question. But he's not going to disappear. You'll see him again. He's been gathered where all of God's people are now gathered in glory. And you'll be reunited once again. Now, here's the challenge for Moses. What will he do? Will he say, well, let's delay this? If Aaron's going to die on this mountain, we'll stay at the bottom of the mountain for a while. Or will he say, Lord, could you not see to forgive him? Let him stay another while. I need him. He's my only friend left. He's my only family member left. I've lost Miriam. Can you not keep Aaron for my sake? No. Moses has learned, as I said, this lesson that when God says go, you have to go. As old John Wesley says, God buries the workman, but never the work. And Aaron has to go, and someone else has to replace him. And God has already determined it's Eleazar. And in verse 27, notice it very carefully. And sometimes we read these verses, and we maybe as I read them earlier, you didn't really see much significance in it. But you should see more significance in it now. It says in verse 27, and Moses did as the Lord commanded. Even though this was so painful for him, even though he knew he was going to lose so much that day, he just did as the Lord commanded. Moses has learned in those 120 years, as has Aaron, that the best way is God's way. Now, it took them a long time to come to that. Moses fought with God's way for many years. We saw that at the start of the book of Exodus. And even when he was 80 years of age and God called him from the wilderness of the Midianites to go back and deliver Israel from Egypt, he fought with God and he argued with God. But now, the new Moses, if I could use such a term, has learned just to say, let God have his way in this matter. And Moses went up the mount, took Aaron with him. And this must have been so hard, verse 28. He took the high priest's robes off Aaron, knowing that in just a matter of moments, that would be the end of their friendship and their relationship here on earth. And yet he did it because God had said, this is the way, Moses. And he took the robes and the mitre and he put them upon Eleazar. And the Bible doesn't say what were their last words together. Just cast a veil over that. Maybe they didn't speak. Maybe they just looked at each other. Maybe Moses said to him, Aaron, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. You're going to where Miriam is. You're going to where our parents are. You're going to where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah, and all the saints that have gone before are. And I'll see you there soon. Maybe Aaron said to Moses, Moses, I'm ready to go. ready to go. I'll see you soon when you come over to the glory. We just don't know. But we're told that Moses and Eleazar turned and went back down the mountain. And Aaron died on that mountain. Never to see one another again. And Aaron had done much for God. Make no mistake about this. Yes, he was a man who was weak at certain moments, critical moments. But you have to judge the trajectory of Aaron's life over the 123 years or so. And you have to say this was a significant man who passed that day. A man that God had used in many different ways. The first high priest of the nation. A man that had seen God do great miracles. But you know, he still had to die. And there's a reminder to us all, doesn't matter how experienced you may be, and Aaron was strong enough to climb the mountain, how strong physically you may feel, there comes a moment in life where God says, enough is enough for you and for me. We have that little clock on the side of the church, and around the clock is these words, and we keep repeating it because they're so true. And we just wish that those who had passed by the church would think about the words on the clock, because it says, it is time to seek the Lord. Because time is running out for all of us. Now, what happens when Aaron dies? Verse 29, and with this we close. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. You know, sometimes people don't appreciate what they have until they lose it. Isn't that right? We never read of them showing any affection to Aaron when he was alive. And he lived a long life, 123 years. But that's people. That's the way of human nature. We tend to take advantage of others and the generosity and goodness of others and the service of others. And it's only when they're gone that we realize we lost something. And they not only mourned for Aaron's passing, notice it says they mourned 30 days, a whole month. The Jewish calendar, the months were 30 days. So they mourn for a full month because someone very significant, they had lost that day. Aaron was a man of many parts, many gifts, many high points, but also many low points. But the wonderful thing about Aaron was this, that despite his imperfections, God still used him and used him in the most wonderful ways. God is faithful even when we are not faithful. Someone once said, God only uses imperfect people because there is no other people to use. And Aaron's a classic illustration of this. Now, the truth is, if you live long enough on this earth, you will attend many funerals. Is that right? And all of us come and all of us go. And if the Lord tarries 100 years, nobody in this room will be here. You ever thought about that? 50 years will take a huge chunk out of this room if the Lord tarries. We're all coming and we're all going. And the one thing that reigns over humanity is this. Death comes to us all, even the greatest. Aaron was one of the greatest. But here's the good news. The Bible says this, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Even in Aaron's passing and the mourning and the sadness, God reassured Moses and Aaron. Aaron's going to glory. Aaron is gathered unto his people. It's not goodbye, Aaron. It's not farewell, Aaron. It's just good night. And we'll meet again in the morning over there. And you know, that's the hope we have as Christians, that we will meet again those in Christ who have gone before. Heaven is a place of perfect reunion for all of God's people. But if you're not a Christian, there's no reunion for you. There's no place of perfection for you to go to. Remember what the sign says outside the church? It is time to seek the Lord. Maybe you've been coming to this church, maybe for a short time, maybe for a long time. You've heard messages like this. Maybe you've even been touched by it. But somehow, some way, you just leave here. Go out your own way. And the conviction, you shake it off. Say, I'm not going to let this bother me. I've got too much to live for outside the church. Well, this story is to remind you and I, it is time to seek the Lord. And the time is now, before time runs out for us all. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the story of Moses and Aaron and Israel. And even as we've looked at this chapter, there are so many lessons that we fall short of in our own lives. As we look at how Moses and Aaron handled this terrible ordeal, how they handled it so well, so graciously, so submissively before God. They knew the time had come. And Aaron walked to his grave that day with the knowledge he's not coming back, but he's going on to glory. Lord, may each one in this room be ready. And if we're not ready, get ready before time runs out for us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.